10 and 11 go together like this, right? It's hand in glove. And one of the things about 11 is, once again, it is deeply misunderstood that it is the 10th step. I always like to tell people, when I call Marty with the 10th step, that's what we start out the conversation as. You should have 10-step buddies that are going to get you to see it from an entirely different angle and see where I made decisions based on self. I don't want you to start talking about what an idiot this guy is in the meeting because you don't like him either. We're in jail with that. So one of the things that you want to do is you want to realize when you're doing a 10th step, I call Marty, I'm looking for freedom, not just relief. And if I got relief, the way it looks to me is when I hang up the phone, she's given it to me from an entirely different angle, depending upon what the circumstance might be, I'm going to be the one who decides if I need to write inventory, okay? So I hang up the phone, and within 30 minutes, it's rattling around in my brain bad. Not mildly, bad. Okay, I did not get freedom. I'm going to scribble out a four-column inventory. I'm going to call Marty and say, Marty, I'm going to write out an inventory. When can you listen to it? She's going to hear it that day. You see, that's going to take me 15, 20 minutes of our life. We're not going to hear it in 4 days. See, inventory, it says we are on a life, thank you so much, life or death errand. This is quick. And we have time to do Starbucks line. We have time to do all other things but write a piece of inventory. Watch how things will step in your way to avoid writing inventory. So it starts out on the I'm not a fan of reading 10 and 11 every morning. I think that's mundane. I think that gets boring. I caution you on that one. You want to start that way? Do it right up till it starts to get mundane. Anything, any prayer repeated over and over and over and over again gets mundane. It's words. It's like How It Works. How It Works has some of the most profound things in it. And I swear to God, we're like, hey, there's Mary. And then all of a sudden, you know, A, God could and would if he, you know, all that. And everybody goes, ho, back in the room. And I mean, I think it's tough to always read a piece of the same spiritual literature in a meeting. I think we miss a lot there, but it's not my job to change the world. The 11th step. Step 11, suggest, once again, the word suggest in the 1935 dictionary means to offer into the mind, not would you like mustard or mayonnaise. Okay, let's be very clear on that. People go, well, the steps are suggested. And I look at them, I go, oh, you don't even have a first step experience. If that's where we're going to start, you know, you're like this already. So it says, and if somebody won't write inventory, it's a first step experience. If somebody wants to hang on the second step, it's a first step experience. It's always the first step. You have got to have hopelessness in that first step. As a matter of fact, you want your man a bit depressed. We're not over there going, your life is going to get so much better. It's going to do. No, we want him depressed because he's fixing to have to swallow and digest large chunks of truth about himself. So it says, suggest prayer and meditation. We shouldn't be shy on this matter of prayer. Huh, interesting. I'm a huge fan of you finding a spiritual teacher. You know, I tell people all the time, who is your spiritual teacher? And they go, well, my sponsor. I'm going, no, that's not what I'm talking about. I think you need to find Thomas Merton, Anthony DeMello, Emmett Fox, who speaks to your heart? Eckhart Tolle? Oh, my God. Oh, my God. You know, I just got nothing. It was like, it felt like I was back in school. And then, the Four Agreements, first time I ever picked it up, hated it. Hated it. Now I study it when Charlie and I are in a fight, and I know that I had nothing to do with it. Now, there's plenty I have something to do with it, but I know I have nothing to do with it, and I am pissed. I go to the Four Agreements and study it. I study the second agreement like crazy. And remember, I don't just read 5 pages. That is looking for knowledge. You must study. You read a paragraph, go back through, ask yourself what each line means to you, and it's got to settle in. See, I watch people read a morning prayer and meditation book, and they go, that's it. It's like, ask them in 3 hours, what did it say? They're like, I got no idea. Well, because you didn't study it, you just read it. You got to study spiritual literature. And so it says, Suggest prayer and meditation. We shouldn't be shy on this matter of prayer. Better men than we are using it constantly. It works if we have the proper attitude and work at it. Now, here's the attitude. The attitude's on page 55. You do want to pay close attention to this attitude. You could have a whole meeting on this attitude. This is profound to me. And I think, didn't you go through the book and find all the word attitude? I remember Chad telling me that. Julie did that. Page 55. We can only clear the ground a bit. You see, all you have is this moment. I can't even guarantee you're going to make it to tomorrow. All you got's right now, this moment, right here, right now. That's why when somebody comes to talk to me, we got, this is it. Now, if I realize you're going down 19 bunny trails, I'm going to tap you out. Boom, 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 move on. Okay, we're, this is now that, now we're moving off what we're talking about. You see what I mean? There's three people standing behind you. I want to be present for everyone I'm talking to. I want to remember what they're saying because they might call me if I've made that plan. I don't want to just go through the motions of life. I want to be present in the life. Page 55, we can only clear the ground a bit. If our testimony helps sweep away prejudice. Oh my gosh, you guys, we are deeply prejudiced. Deeply. I don't even know I am until I'm starting to really see what bugs me. Enable you to think honestly. Once again, like I said earlier, that's assuming I have a little trouble in that area. Encourage you to search diligently within yourself. See, remember, the steps tell us when, how, and why to take them. Our buddy Blind Dave does this really cool thing on a fountain. So you got a three-tiered fountain, right? And, you know, you got the pipe going up the middle, and the water goes to the top one and comes down, all the way down. And he says the top one is the evening review, right? There's where we're starting. And then the water runs down into on awakening. And then there's that one. And then we take the big one is our drama of life, our 10th step, where we go out in life and watch. And the most important step, most important action to take, most people would think would be morning prayer and meditation. It's the evening review. See, you stick your finger in the top of that fountain, you stop the water because you didn't do the evening review. If you're doing on awakening and you've not done an evening review, you're doing a feel-good morning. You're not bringing in your day from yesterday. What were your corrective measures? What did you answer the questions? What's going on? Instead, we're just looking to feel good. I call it chicken soup for the soul, AA, man. I did it for a long time, and it worked right up until it quit working. And that day is not a good day, okay? So you got to know that if you're going to not have time for anything, do your evening review. Remember I told you about the swimming thing, and I just, oh, God, what a sport. Just hated it, still hate it. And I was on the swim team in school. But I could tell you a whole story about that. I just don't have time. It was once again where I decided to work an angle, and it backfired on me. Shocking. So one of the things, though, oh, my gosh, my brain is so fried. Keep focused, keep focused. Lost it. Duh! Evening review. Okay, oh, so I don't like to swim, so I cannot do my evening review in the evening. I cannot do it. I tried, and I can't do it. Now, if I am really pissed, I can make myself do it. You know why? I'm sick of waking up at 3 o'clock in the morning pissed off. Sick of it. So I can do that. But Charlie and I have a big old fight. Come on, you guys. I mean, you're in a marriage. You fight. Let's call it what it is. People act like, oh, they really have a hell of a time. No, we're just honest, okay? So if we have a bad fight at night, I have asked him. It's been on the list. Please, let's clean it up before we go to bed. Selfishly, I don't want to go to bed pissed. I don't sleep well. I want to clean it up. I don't care if we got to do a do-over. I don't care. But his family was a family that never talked about anything. Head in the sand. Teetotalers. There's some tough crowd. My family, you're yelling so loud the neighbors knew what was going on. Right? The collision is going to happen here. Right? Neither one of us is right. But you got to know what dog you're walking. Okay? So one of the things is I just said, forget it. I'm doing it in the morning. So my love letters to God are my evening review. I mix two-way prayer and do all of that. I have a special little binder. As a matter of fact, it's funny, when we're having girls' conferences, we always like to say, you know, some people are like, if all of a sudden I die in a car wreck, be sure and go home and get rid of my toys so my kids don't stumble on those. That's a little humbling, right? I say, go home, get all my evening reviews and burn them. Don't let anyone see my thoughts, right? And we have a rule in our house that you're not going to read each other's stuff. You know, that's, what good is that? Why don't you just heap a fire on yourself, you know? But so my love letters to God, I want to kind of tie this in. So you and you know what? It's going to be personal to you. This whole thing is personal. Some people love silent meditation. I feel like I have ants crawling on me. I've tried it, and I have tried it, and I hate it. People go, well, you ought to try a silent retreat. I'd rather eat fire. Oh, my God. Charlie and I did one. A little. All they were going to do is have a silent lunch at this monastery, and... You know, and I was like, oh, I ain't doing it. I'm walking outside. I'm not doing it. I'm not going to be in here, and everybody's quiet. And he says, I go to the facilitator, and I said, so what if we want to talk? And he goes, well, you got to go outside. I said, okay, I got it, Charlie, I got it. I got to keep going. So he goes, so Charlie's like, oh, I definitely want a quiet lunch. And I'm like, oh, you're such a phony. Oh, yeah, Mr. Talker, go ahead. And I'm like, I don't want it. So I voted not to. So about eight of us go in this little tiny room, and the rest of the people are in there silent. Alcoholics, silent. That's some of your best AA that happens over a bagel, okay? And so the next thing, by the end of the weekend, all of them are in our little closet room. Oh, you bunch of phonies. You know, we're going to sit quietly. Charlie, though, he was sitting there, and when I walked in, he was like this. And I looked at him, I go, you are such a phony. And he goes, and he opened his hands. He was trying to soften the frozen butter in his hand. We start laughing, and I mean, it's like, get out of here. It's silent, you know. Oh, my God. But I just don't do silent meditation. Great, groovy, if it works for you. I can do guided meditation. I can do my love letters to God or my form of meditation. It says when we retire at night, we constructively review our day. Constructive means to examine thoroughly. So it doesn't say to write it, but I tell you, if you write it, it is profound. And most people start by answering these questions. I'm not a fan of doing that for the entire time. I want the gist of this. So it says, were we resentful? I'm not looking for a yes or no. I want to know where. Once again, remember that third and fourth column. We got to get some depth in this. Of course I was resentful. I'm a human being. People piss you off. Where? Well, let me think about it. Sometimes I have to look back at my phone and realize, you know, where I went. And then sometimes I have to look at what sponsees I talk to. Trust me, the sponsees will piss you off. They're a lot of work, not all the time. But when they make me mad, I don't come at them. But I certainly need to, you know, put it down. Where was I selfish, dishonest, and afraid? This can take it should take, I think, 15 minutes to write. And do we have 15 minutes just to get a relationship with the Creator? Yeah, throw that. Or we could binge watch some Netflix. Right? Or look at your phone. Oh, my God, there's so many. And don't get me wrong. I can do all those same things, too. I'm coming out of all my own experience of what I did. Do we owe an apology? Wow. Interesting. Not just yes. To whom? Have we kept something to ourselves which should have been discussed with another person? There's the drunk trap. Did you do a 10th step? No. Didn't do a 10th step. I mean, I'm telling you what, I have one sponsee, every time she leaves me a message, it makes me nuts. She says, gosh, I haven't talked to you in a couple of weeks. Well, in your phone, it gives you a log of their history. And it's been 6 weeks, not a couple, six. And I have to point that out to her every time. And I said, do you see, that's somebody who's asleep. You think it's been 2 weeks, it's been 6 weeks. That's a month and a half, guys. And the alcoholic of my variety and her variety. Were we kind and loving towards all? I can tell you my thoughts weren't, but a lot of my actions are. I mean, I really work hard on that. I'm not here to judge my thoughts on this one. I'm already writing that down, resentful, selfish, dishonest. What could we have done better? You know what I mean? Beef up your prayer and meditation. Beef up your evening review. Pick up some new tools. Were we thinking of ourselves most of the time? Believe it or not, yes and no. Some days are better than others. You know, some people look at these and go, oh, my God. And I guarantee that person is not doing 10 and 11. They just aren't. Or were we thinking of what we could do for others or what we could pack into the stream of life? I'm telling you what, some of us do way too much for others, way too much, because it's almost like a penance where you're trying to feel better about yourself, but you're disregarding your family. It says a more important demonstration lies in our families, our occupations, and our affairs. So it's family first, work second, AA third. People are like, oh no, AA's first. Well, you better look at that closer. I'm not saying don't, you know, meet with the sponsor, but we will use that as a cop-out. And when I see a guy who's got a brand new baby at home and he's at three meetings a week, I'm not happy about that. I'm telling Charlie, that's not okay. That is not okay. He needs to be going home, taking care of that baby, and letting her go run to the gym. You know, there's stuff you got to do. He doesn't have to have three meetings a week, you know, and he's 9 years sober. So then there's a warning, but we must be careful not to drift into worry, remorse, or morbid reflection. How many times have you gotten that 10-step call that is just total morbid reflection? You're like, oh boy, they have drifted way out to sea. And the reason it's saying that, once again, guys, watch how many times in the book it wants you to not judge yourself. Stop judging. The minute you judge yourself, the ego has won. You are just in this mudslide. This is a to-do list to look at as to how you're showing up in the world. And if you sincerely want to change, sincerely, you will. But you have to do the discipline today. That's it. I don't care about tomorrow, just today. Tomorrow, just today. See, you get off into doing it next, I'm going to do it for 3 weeks. 3 weeks I'm going to do it. No, you've already set yourself up to fail. And then it says, why would we not want to drift into worry, remorse, and morbid effect for it to diminish our usefulness to others? Not that it'd make me feel like crap. Diminish our usefulness to others. All about others, 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 others. After making our review, we ask God's forgiveness. Think about that. In your evening review, do you remember to do that? Very, very important. Because you see, otherwise that guilt, shame, and remorse come on us. God is like the Father who forgives all. He's given us that free will. We can go out there and just screw the whole world up. And we inquire what corrective measures should be taken. That means able to correct. That's what you're going to take into On Awakening. Crucial information. What is my corrective measure? Sit quietly. Do a couple of two-minute breath relaxations. And listen, listen, listen. The still, quiet voice talks like this. You need to call them. Go back and give them that back. Don't do that. They're not prepared. So what you're going to hear? On Awakening. Now here's clear directions. Remember when you hear people say, On Awakening is you need to listen. I misunderstood that. On Awakening, let us think about our 24 hours ahead. Okay, let's do that. That's my to-do list. I write down, there's a list sitting there. I'm deciding what I'm going to do, where I'm going to go, da-da-da-da. Now, I'm going to take that list with me every day. I may or may not finish it. But when I face indecision, paused when agitated or doubtful, the list is with me. I'm like, oh, God, I'm not going to be able to get those three things done today. And the truth is you don't have to, right? They're not urgent. I just want them off the list. So God says, 2 seconds, tells me where to go next. Okay, obviously you got somebody at the grocery store you want me to see. No doubt about it. No doubt about it. Heard it clear, loud, and clear. Because when you're unblocked, that voice is undeniable. So On Awakening, let's think about our 24 hours a day. And I'm constantly at it. I could be sitting in my breath meditation. All of a sudden, a thought pops up about hold of contact. I just open my eyes, write it down real quick, go right back in. Out of sight, out of mind. It's on my list. It says, we consider our plans for the day. There's my pad. Before we begin, we ask God to direct our thinking, especially that it be divorced from self-pity, dishonest, and self-seeking motives. It does not say fear. The very first thing we suffer from is self-pity. Most of us don't even want to get out of bed. Some people are morning people, I know it, but some of us just don't even get out of bed. And it's a very, very interesting perspective and way to see the way he lays this out. So you ask yourself, don't just say those three things. You ask yourself, what does self-pity look like today? Well, there's my corrective measures. God dang it, Charlie and I are having a hell of a week, right? We're not getting along at all. As I've told you guys over and over, we were best friends for 20 years. I was his kid sister. It's like kissing your brother sometimes. And I love him. We're growing old together. I've never been happier in my life. But he bugs the crap out of me because he's like my brother. My brother can go, Kate! I'm like, do you have to use that tone? You know what I mean? That's what you do with a brother. Am I right? A sibling. They just bug you. And so that's where I go. It is what it is. I mean, I doubt many people have that dynamic. It's a doozy. So under these conditions, this is only if I've done what it's telling me. This is not no evening review. I wake up, I read this fabulous piece of spiritual literature. Oh, I fear the nearness of my creator, you know. Hand on the doorknob, game on. And I'm not two blocks away and I'm pissed. It says, under these conditions, which means state of mind, we can employ our mental faculties with assurance. It's under these conditions. After all, God gave us brains to use under these conditions. Our thought life will be placed on a much higher plane when our thinking is cleared of wrong motives or good motives. Let's not forget that one. In thinking about our day, now this is while we're in prayer and meditation, we may face indecision. Fair enough. Here we ask God for inspiration and intuitive thought or decision. We relax and take it easy. So it's a thought or decision. That's in prayer and meditation. I'm facing a little indecision with this to-do list. What used to be a hunch or the occasional inspiration gradually becomes a working part of the mind. What a promise, right? Is that your experience? Because it can be. Everyone in this room can have that experience every day. Being still and experienced and having just made conscious contact with God, it's not probable that we're going to be inspired at all times. So 2 weeks into this deal, you're not going to be inspired. Trust me, it's the nature of this thing. And you're going to want to quit. And you're going to quit. And then you're going to get mad again. And then you're going to start back up. You're just not going to be inspired at all times. You got to switch it up, change it up. We might pay for this presumption. I love this. This is a warning, and it's a very good one. We might pay for this presumption in all sorts of absurd actions and ideas. Right? That's the 10-step call they're calling you on. Nevertheless, we find that our thinking will, as time passes, be more and more on the plane of inspiration. We come to rely upon this. But you have to do the discipline. So then we move into pars, and believe it or not, I'm just about done. We move into what we call pars. Pause, ask, remind, and say. Now we're done with prayer and meditation. We're walking out into the world. Now in that time, though, my love letters to God, my evening review looks something like this. I call God Father God. I've had so many people ask me about this, I almost missed it. I call God Father God. He calls me my child. Some of my sponsees have dear one. You know, you pick what you feel. Don't feel like you got to take mine. So I write Father God, and I lay out all my worries. I lay out all my frustrations, and I lay out some really. Are you okay, honey?
Okay.
Okay. Lay out some kind of good stuff too, because you know it's packed into the stream of life. I mean, I'm just doing my worries, my resentments, and my good stuff. And it's about that long on a spiral notebook. And then I set it aside. And then I go through all my morning stuff. And then I always start right before I talk to God in the sense where I'm listening for him. I read, I open Jesus Calling like a game of roulette. I don't ever like to follow those to the day because I just feel like it feels like a horoscope. So I just open it to the day, right? I mean, to whatever. And I mean, it is as if he heard everything that I was doing, and it is spot on. So spot on, it's a joy. I don't want to say it's freaky, because at first it was freaky. Now it's a joy. I become to rely upon it. And so then I start with the My Child, and it moves me to tears. Charlie will walk in while I'm doing my morning time, and he'll go, because I'm crying, he goes, honey, are you okay? I go, oh, it's all good. And I mean, I just have this constant reassurance from this voice that is not mine. And I just write. And I just write until all of a sudden the voice just says, I love you. And it's fantastic, guys. Don't give it up. If you get in the way of it, so what? Keep doing it. You'll beat the ego. It's a gift. It is the coolest gift. It's, you know, two-way prayer was Henrietta Seiberling. That's how Alcoholics Anonymous started. She was told in her two-way prayer that somebody was going to send someone for Dr. Bob. And she, her pastor told her that Bill Wilson, and do I need to promote two-way prayer anymore? You know what I mean? And so it says, as we go through our day, we pause when agitated or doubtful. Most people stop it when agitated. That's the only line you hear in an AA meeting. You never hear the rest of the paragraph. As we go through the day, we pause when agitated or doubtful. Today, I am way more doubtful than I am agitated. I'm not sure what to do. Where should I go? I got a ton of stuff to do. And ask for the right thought or action. Now we're asking for a thought or an action. Before it was decision, right? Thought or decision. Now I'm asking for some real direction here. We constantly remind ourselves we're no longer running the show, humbly saying to ourselves many times each day, thy will be done. And when I'm calling back sponsees, I've been here for the weekend, I guarantee I've got 27 calls to return. And that's no big deal. I'm not saying that is impress you or whatever. I get business done. We're not going to sit there and talk about how the Jersey Shore was, okay? We're going to just get business done. It's a 10 step. What are we talking about? Da, 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 da. 15 minutes for each person is basically what they get. I don't have set times. I'm not a fan of that. I don't even understand it, if you want to know the truth. But I want a 10 step call. And so I will have all of those things that I have to do. And I need to look at that list of people and ask God, who's first? And he tells me, who's first? I look through it. And he tells me who to do. Next one. Who's next? And I just do one at a time. I don't get overwhelmed with it. And then it says, we are then in much less danger. Listen to these promises. We are then in much less danger of excitement, fear, anger, worry, self-pity, or foolish decisions. We become much more effective. We do not tire so easy, for we are not burning up energy foolishly as we did when we were trying to arrange life to suit ourselves. It works. It really does. Isn't that unbelievable? That's the terms of the deal. We alcoholics are undisciplined, so we let God discipline us in this very way. Looking at 10 and 11, the idea of watching for selfishness, dishonesty, resentment, and fear is much different than waiting for these to show up. You're watching, not waiting. That's a big step to shore, whatever, bridge to shore statement. We're going to look at watch for the four things that crop up, check my work at the end of the day, corrective measures into on awakening, think about the 24 hours, consider our plans, divorce from self-pity, dishonest, and self-seeking motives. Remember, this is all about two steps forward, one step back. Two steps forward, one step back. Bill said, at the hospital, I was separated from alcohol for the last time. There I humbly offered myself to God as I then understood him. I want you to hear that. Because spiritual growth is never stopping, just like aging. It's never stopping. As I then understood him, you're going to continue to grow spiritually. Let that God of your understanding open up. Oh my gosh, before you know it, I've always leaned towards Western religion. I've just not ever had any luck with the Buddhism stuff. No big deal. That's just my choice. But I have grown so much in this relationship. It's incredible. Then I want to say, when you're turning your stuff, and this is kind of not ending quite as crescendo-y as I would have liked, but here we go. It's our first one back after 2 years. I'm like, okay. One of the things I like, oh my God, lunch is in 7 minutes, is when you're doing the affirmative prayer, right, in the 10th step, you're watching for these negative thoughts and you're going to affirm, right? Affirm, affirm, affirm. Mark Houston gave me affirmative prayer. I thought it was the stupidest thing I'd ever heard. But once again, I told you I come from the school that if you tell me to do it, I'm going to do it. I had a huge problem. And he took 15 minutes of his time. It was very respectful. I saw that he came out of work, yada, yada, yada. And I went home and did it. And within 2 days, my world absolutely changed. And I'm telling you guys, you got to try it. And don't watch what the ego is going to do. It's going to try to destroy you and not do it. So one of the things that I say that my job is, and God told me this straight from his mouth to my ear, he said, you get these people back in touch with their families. This is all about families reuniting. If that makes the skin crawl on you, I get it, right? All about families coming together. You see Danny when he was sharing? You know why? He's coming to the end of his life. You don't want to be 78 years old and not have cleaned it up. You missed the window. You want to do this now. It's all about family. So please don't go out, though, and try to mend it with no direction. So these are two affirmative prayers, and I swear to God, Jimmy, I'll be done. I know we got lunch, and I don't want to upset him. This was a gentleman in Toronto, and it's a little wordy, but I'll go through it quickly. My experience with positive prayer. In my early recovery, I had occasion to attend a day in the steps. At this session, I had the opportunity to speak to Katie about my relationship with my estranged son, Tom. I get pretty emotional with some of these because I get them all the time, and they're remarkable. I explained that in my addiction, how I had abandoned my three children from 94 to 2010. That's a big deal. Then December 4th, 2010, it happened. A piece of my life started to come back together. On the relationship level, I had reconciled and did amends with my son Nick and my daughter Avery. Yet there was one dark and ominous cloud in the sky in my world that I had not reconciled with my son Tom. His brother, sister, and mother had unannounced to me. His brother, sister, and mother had, unannounced to me, approached him to encourage him to consider reconciling. Oh, I see. They went behind his back. And over and over and over. The next time I see the bastard, my son says, the next time I see the bastard, I'll piss on his grave. That's always a good relationship with father and son. I shared this with Katie, who suggested I use a process called positive prayer. And be delighted in the use of this powerful spiritual tool on a daily basis. She explained and gave me examples of how this would help her and help others, and I left with the decision to commit to this process. From that day forward, I did 5 minutes of positive prayer every day, 7 days a week. That prayer started with a brief moment of silence to focus. Then I visualized my son and I on the first tee of the Pleasant Valley Golf Course in St. Thomas, Ontario. In my vision, we had then played the first three holes each day. The sun was always shining, and our interaction experience very positive. That usually took about 3 minutes, and for the remaining two, I asked a power greater than myself to send positive energy to my son Tom and to look over him and keep him safe. Some days were better than others. You hear that? So know that. Some days were better than others, but I was not obsessed with the issue of reconciling with my son. Then in February 2013, my phone pinged, indicating I had a message to read. When I checked the message, it was a Facebook friend request, and it was from my son, Tom. I was spiritually and physically numb at this miracle, and the shock of receiving this was, for me, several days. The relationship moved slowly with occasional messages. That was all his son was willing to do. He didn't come at him as, you know, va-voom. The positive prayer continued. My daughter got married in August of 2014. I was involved in building a deck. The gift of being able to be a part of this process was certainly not lost on me. However, there was a glitch. My son, Tom, refused to travel to the wedding because I was going to be there. I offered to my daughter, please let me step aside, which is what we should do, right? The day before the wedding, I was at my daughter's home and reinstalling a bedroom door. I was on my knees in the hall, just at the lower hinge. I had the sense of somebody entering the hall from the kitchen, but I did not look up. I then heard a voice. Hey, old man, are you sure you know what the hell you're doing? I did not recognize the voice, and I glanced up. And in the moment, my body went numb. There before me stood my son, Tom. I would like to say that I maintained my composure and gracefully got to my feet, greeted my son with some crazy fatherly greeting. However, the reality was a complete loss, and I broke down crying. I hugged him tighter than I can ever remember hugging anyone in my life. I blabbered on. I was happy to see him, and yada, yada, yada. The next couple of hours, we worked together preparing yard signs, carpentry, touch-ups, all of these things. At one point, I turned to him and said, can we talk? To which he replied, yes. We found a bench in the yard. It was there with 20 to 30 friends and family members working around us that I was able to do my amends to my son, Tom. Regardless of all the people and activity around us, it felt like it was just he and I. I did my amends and ended it with the statement, if I have harmed you in any other way, please tell me and let me know how I can balance the scales. How can I set things right? To this, he responded, why don't we just take it from here and see how it goes? We again hugged, and I told my son I loved him. If this story had ended there, it would have been an incredible miracle, way above my pay grade. Over the past 5 years, Tom and I have deepened our relationship. This past July, my wife Elaine and I traveled to see Tom. We spent a week with Tom and his fiancée Jennifer. What a gift. All of that because of positive prayer and a definitely inspired spiritual program of recovery. I truly believe that this to be true.
so simple yet so complex, but it works, and I have the experience to show it. I have seen it happen in others as well. And oh yes, the visualization on the first three holes of Pleasant Valley Golf Course, well, Tom and I went golfing for the first time ever in Dawson City, and he kicked my ass. While I never remembered that in my positive prayer, I could not have been more awake for this gift. Thank you, Katie, for those moments 7 years ago. So that's that one. I have one more. It's very, very emotional. Oh, yes, yes, yes. This is a very short one. But I can't tell you guys how important positive prayer is. I heard your description of positive prayer and wanted to start trying it. It started 2 years ago. I was at the point and started doing it in the morning during my prayer and meditation time. Let me back up. To say my husband's ex-wife and I had a strained relationship would be the understatement of the year. They live in a very small Texas town, and they were all in AA. She hated me and had every right to. At 90 days sober, my husband and I got together. They had an affair, okay? I'd be a little pissed when he was still married. My husband could not stay sober, so there were long, drawn-out custody fights, screaming arguments, restraining orders. There isn't enough time in the day to describe the hell we were going through. These folks are all sober. You with me on that? She remarried a year later. We did, and it's been about 5 years now since this all started. We're all in AA in a small town, and they have refused to be a part of anything we do. They would not do the same meetings, wouldn't contribute to anything we were involved with. I started positive prayer 2 weeks ago. Now, his took 7 years, okay? Hers took 2 weeks. I started positive prayer 2 weeks ago, praying that we had a healthy relationship. We were able to talk about the two daughters that they shared. I could share experience with the girls and with her, and we all worked together as a unit to raise these girls. Last Sunday, my husband got a call from his ex-wife asking us to come visit the girls at their house. We went over, and her husband apologized for drawing a line in the sand with us, looking on us as evil and realizing the harm it was doing to everyone and the girls. They wanted us to all get together for everyone's sake, especially the girls. We plan on getting together once a month for dinner and bowling or some sort of activity so the girls can see that we're all getting along. She and I exchanged emails last week. She even called me on Sunday and asked if I would help her put together a little celebration for two women in AA. It absolutely brings me to tears every time I think about it. This has been a huge, huge struggle in my life for the past 5 years, and God wiped it away in 2 weeks. The power of God is absolutely mind-blowing. I know we still have a journey ahead, but this is a great beginning. I just needed to share my miracle with you. Please keep doing what you're doing. You're touching countless lives, lives of little girls who don't even know you. Pretty cool stuff, huh? Thanks, guys, so much for having us. Ooh. Oh, sorry, I felt like I was running the clock.